Protests against the war in Gaza have surged on college campuses around the country. Police arrested dozens of demonstrators yesterday at New York University and Yale. Nora is a Yale sophomore who's participated in the demonstrations. We're using only her first name because she fears she might be doxxed.
I think this is the most important thing going on right now. My education is really important too, but a degree is useless if it happened while the university I went to was complicit in genocide, and I didn't do anything, and I didn't stand up for that.
Last week, police arrested more than 100 protesters at Columbia University. Catherine S. Cho is professor of higher education at Loyola University in Chicago, and she studies student protest. Hi, Catherine.
Hello.
So what strikes you as you watch these protests at college and universities that have occurred since October 7th?
Yeah, so in many ways, campus protests and student protests are really important for higher education, right, for student development, but also to hold institutions accountable. And so in many ways, I feel like these are students who are doing the exact things that their education has taught them, right, to imagine the world that they wish to live in, to fight for the justice that they see, and to hold institutions, including their own colleges and universities, accountable.
Do you think the congressional hearings that questioned some high-profile university presidents had a big impact on the response we've seen from these schools?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I also think that they're responding to pressures, whether they are real or perceived or projected pressures of donors and funding. And so there is a lot of scrutiny towards colleges and universities. The anti-critical race theory bans, the anti-LGBTQ legislation that's happening in many states, the wiping of diversity offices, programs, initiatives, even the Supreme Court ruling, all of those are connected together. And with that, there's a lot of scrutiny on what colleges and universities are doing with mounting pressure, I think, related to then if funding streams are going to get cut from federal policies or state policies, we're going to have to rely on donors. And then thinking about where donor bases or donor fundings are coming from, I think all of that gets tied together to why campuses are responding this way.
We also hear from administrations fairly regularly concerns about safety, that these protests put students in danger. How credible is that claim?
Yeah, so it's one of these things where safety is not a neutral term, because safety is being used as if everybody experiences safety the same. And yet that's not true. Because even as we have language, for example, to call out anti-Semitism, we don't see colleges and universities using that same type of framing to protect or think about the safety of Palestinian students, Arab students, Muslim students, students who are fighting for Palestinian freedom in that same way. And they're experiencing safety differently as well. And so I think to that point, these calls for safety, while they are important, they're much more nuanced and differentially applied that colleges are also not recognizing and also are not applying in the same way to different student groups that have different abilities to protect themselves.
So USC canceled all commencement speakers for its main ceremony. They also canceled the valedictorian speech. Columbia University canceled in-person classes through the end of the semester. Harvard Yard is closed through Friday, at least, as they anticipate protests. Is this an unusual response from schools?
It is and it isn't. I think what schools are worried about is this escalating, wondering if this is going to turn into, especially as, for example, at Columbia's case, right, New Yorkers came out to support and continue to support Columbia students who are protesting, that this will become bigger. And so I think that that's part of the response is if there's a way to clearly identify or clearly stop the broader public to join, I think that it's really that concern.
How do the current protests compare with what we saw during the height of student protests on campuses in the 1960s?
Colleges arresting students or responding to students with what feels, and I would argue as really aggressive responses of having students get arrested, kicking students out, all of those things are, were still present in the 1960s. But I do think that the response is much faster in the sense of stripping students' abilities to access housing, kicking students out or having their belongings be removed, in part because of technology, right? Disabling an ID card to access your dorms is much faster with a click of a mouse than how it happened in the 1960s or 70s. But then the other aspect of this is there are changes that have happened on university campus policies for students, and whether that's student conduct codes, whether that's codes for how who can be on the college campus, that have changed more so that the ways that students are able to protest and how universities will punish them for not following those rules, that has become much more scrutinized and regulated and controlled now than in the 1960s.
Catherine S. Cho is professor of higher education at Loyola University in Chicago. Catherine, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.